in 3 bulletins every week. You know, just as I was sitting there and thinking about this, we had 3 offerings today. Now, there's a lot of churches you go to that only have 1. And I thought, what a great testimony to our deacons, good leadership for encouraging us all to be generous in lots of different ways. And a testimony to us as a church that willingly gives when we're called to. So, just wanted to encourage you guys all with that and thank the deacons for their leadership in challenging us to be generous, as God has been generous to us. So, as we turn now to God's Word, or prepare to turn to God's Word, let's ask His blessing on our time together. Let's pray. Spirit of God, we thank You for Your presence among us. As we turn to Your Word now, we ask that You would open our hearts and minds to hear what You have to say to us today, that in encountering this text, we would encounter You, and in that encounter, that we would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week, we're starting a new 3-week series on worship. Each week that we show up here on Sundays, we gather for worship. But what exactly does that mean? What exactly are we doing here every Sunday? And what difference does that make in our lives? So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be exploring some of those themes in the hopes of better understanding not only what happens here in this space on Sunday, but also in the hopes of understanding and knowing more deeply the God that we worship. So our text for this week, for this first week, is one that we have already used in our call to worship, Psalm 100. So I invite you to turn there now in your Bibles, whether paper or electronic, as may be. Now, in reality, I could have used any Bible text for this message because our theme is worship as dialogue. And the entire Bible obviously fits that bill because the Bible is God's word to us, inviting us into dialogue and relationship with Him. Now, I picked Psalm 100 because it also carries the strong theme of worship. It is what's known as a psalm of ascents, which means people would sing this psalm as they went up to worship God. It would lift both their spirits and their physical bodies as they walked the steps up to the temple. So let's read Psalm 100 now. Hear the word of God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is God's word. Thanks be to Him. So this past week, I got to talk with a couple of my very close friends that I hadn't talked to in quite a while, as they live all over out west. And I spent almost 3 hours on the phone with these people, chatting, catching up, reminiscing about old stories. It was good for the soul because these people have been friends of mine for decades. They know me. They really know me. And they still answer when I call. So I'm very grateful for that. Now, the great thing about friends like that is that even after not talking or seeing each other for 6 months or a year or even longer, you can just pick up right where you left off. Like no time had passed, and soon you're right back to the intimacy and camaraderie that you had the last time that you had been together. Getting into the conversation with friends like that just happens naturally. You know them, they know you, there's no pretense, you can just be yourself, laughing and enjoying the fellowship of the life that you share together. And there's a piece of who we are that gets filled up by that kind of intimacy and friendship. And that's because it's a desire built into us as humans. See, we were created to live in community. It is not good for the man to be alone. We have been created to live with God and with others in fellowship and harmony. And investing in those relationships will help us to live life to the fullest. And Psalm 100 gives us a blueprint for what a truly alive community looks like. And so for Psalm 100, that community's deepest fulfillment comes when it is doing what it is created to do, namely worshiping God. Shout for joy, worship with gladness and joyful songs. There's an atmosphere of celebration about this psalm. Which, of course, begs the question, well, what is the psalmist so worked up about? What is it they believe that is so worth celebrating? And as I thought about how to answer those questions, a story popped into my head, and it was a story from high school where I wanted to ask this girl out to a school dance. She was beautiful, popular, and so therefore way out of my league. And I agonized for like a week over whether I even should ask her or not, being scared that she'd say no and even more scared if she said yes. But I finally gathered up my courage, called her up, and asked her to go out with me. And she said, yes. Well, thanks a lot. No, I get it. But she said yes, and I was ecstatic. I couldn't believe it. I was floating on cloud nine for weeks. So what is there to be so joyful about in Psalm 100? That God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, has said yes to a relationship with us. The psalmist is so joyful because God has invited us into his presence. We are not left on our own because God has established a relationship with us. Verse 3 reminds us that we belong to God. He calls us his people, the sheep of his pasture. And now here I just want to add a little note about that metaphor, that we are sheep and God is our shepherd. See, one of the most important things that worship does for us is reminds us that we are not God. Worship humbles us, reminding us that we are like sheep, which, in case you don't know, is not a flattering analogy. Sheep are stubborn, they're not very bright. I read once that they will literally eat themselves to death if they are not managed well. They need help. So psalms like this remind us that we are the creatures and God is the creator. Now, while that distinction may seem obvious, all too often in our lives, we forget it. We take the freedom that God gives us and that we enjoy, and we turn that into self-determination, seeking to control and determine our own lives, making plans and decisions based on what we want rather than what God wants. See, God leads us into a good pasture with enough grass for everybody, but we try to eat and hoard all the grass for ourselves, getting what we can before someone else does. We take the good that God gives to us, and we have a tendency to selfishly use it for our own good. See, humans have a natural tendency to replace God with self. In his book, Sickness Unto Death, Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard says, "It's the normal state of the human heart to try to build its identity around something besides God. Spiritual pride is the illusion that we are competent to run our own lives, achieve our own sense of self-worth, and find a purpose big enough to give us meaning in life without God." See, this is why the psalmist includes that sheep and shepherd metaphor right at the very heart, right at the very center of the psalm. Because one of the central themes that worship helps us to remember is that we are creatures and God is the creator. That reality must be accepted in order for our lives to be rightly ordered. And it lies at the very heart of worship. See, ever since Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, humanity has tried to find substitutes for God. We seek power, control, sex, money. We labor to build our own kingdoms. We fill our lives with work or with stuff, with busyness, while trying to distract ourselves with entertainment or sports. We work really hard to try and find meaning and purpose in life through our own efforts. And we never truly succeed. And it's into the midst of all of that striving, searching, and struggling that God comes to us with the gospel. The gospel which says that mountain of sin that we commit and add to every single day, a mountain that would take us 1,000 lifetimes to remove, is washed away in a flash through no effort of our own. Quit searching, quit striving, quit struggling, and find your rest in Jesus, the gospel says. See, faith in his death and resurrection opens the way into God's presence once again. It's only through Jesus that we will find the healing and wholeness for that void in our soul that we try to fill. A healing and a wholeness that comes simply through faith. It is by grace that you are saved. See, and once that faith takes hold in our lives, it changes everything. Instead of living for me and striving against God's will for me, we can relax into fellowship with him. Instead of being afraid of or avoiding God, we can confidently enter into his presence, knowing that he accepts us through Jesus. Instead of trying to find fulfillment in our own efforts and striving and working to that, we can rest in what Christ has done for us. Instead of worrying about whether we're good enough or whether we're doing enough, we can worship and delight in God's presence with us. And that is why and how we can enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Because the deep-seated anxiety we have in our souls can be satisfied in Jesus. Because God has made himself known to us, inviting us into conversation and fellowship with him. See, and this is the story that we rehearse and remind ourselves about every Sunday. This is God's story with us, a story that helps give us focus, purpose, and meaning to each of our individual life stories and to our communal life together. And this is what makes worship so important to our spiritual health. See, all week we hear other stories from the culture and the world around us. Buy this, watch that. These are the clothes you need. You deserve this car. You need this stuff. You're supposed to look like this. You need more likes, more views, because you are a consumer and you can buy the stairway to heaven. See, our culture pummels us with messages and products trying to fill that void that only God can fill. We hear messages competing for our loyalty hundreds of times a week, and they affect us. They challenge our values and principles, and our identities can start to form around them, confusing us. But when we gather in worship, all of those other voices are shut out. All that confusion is straightened out as we converse with God and collectively remind ourselves of who we are because of whose we are. Our worship services are structured on a dialogic format where we both speak to God and God speaks to us. We speak to God and we hear from God. Look again at the titles on your yellow sheet in the bulletin, the liturgy that we hand out every week. God calls his people. We respond with praise. God greets us. We sing. We confess. God assures. God listens. We give thanks. God speaks. We respond. You see the pattern? Back and forth. We speak. We listen. We speak. We listen. This is the pattern that God gives his people for worship in the Bible. And it's one of the guiding principles behind our worship services. Worship is a dialogue with the creator of the universe, where we respond to his work in our hearts and the world around us. God acts and we respond. And this is what we see in Psalm 100. Coming into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, giving thanks and praising his name doesn't happen without context. Those verses work off the assumption that God has already acted, and we are now invited to respond with worship. It's amazing when you really think about it, that God allows and even welcomes our words to him. He wants to hear from us. He wants to know what's on our hearts and in our minds. He wants us to share it with him freely and honestly so that he can help shoulder our burdens with us. That's why he gave us the Psalms. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He wants to hear from them. And by the way, not just when we are happy or grateful and everything is great. One third of the Psalms are lament Psalms. God wants to hear from us in our pain as well. See, worship and dialogue with God helps us to recenter our souls and our lives. During the week, we get pulled into all kinds of different directions. We hear dozens of messages trying to convince us fulfillment in life is possible apart from God. But worship and dialogue with God is what gives us perspective when life gets crazy. Worship helps us center our lives and our souls on Jesus, on God with us. See, worshipful dialogue with God strips away all of the junk and the baggage of the world that we accumulate on our shoulders and in our hearts. And it opens the core of us up to connect once again with the God who created us and the God who loves us. Once again, the God of love invites us to come into his presence and find the rest that we so desire. Talking with God in worship also helps us take the focus off of ourselves and direct us once more towards God. Psalm 100 calls us to celebrate God and his goodness, his love, and his faithfulness to all generations. See, when we take time to focus on God's greatness and perfection, it helps us as we try to handle our own weaknesses and failures and imperfections, and as we struggle to slay our own self-idolatry. Because in the light of God's wonder and majesty and flawlessness, we see that there is hope. There is a reality greater than our brokenness. There is a reality bigger than our disappointments. There is a person who calls us to trust him with our worst. A person whose very being emanates grace and forgiveness and invites us to enter daily into conversation with him. And in worship, we hear the story once again of God overcoming evil with good, his triumph over sin and death and hell, and his promise of eternal life to all who ask for it. We catch glimpses of that hope that his promises carry with them, and we can find strength and courage to keep on keeping on. See, our faith needs constant tending. It needs to be fed and watered. Needs to be refreshed. God understands this, and this is why he calls us into fellowship with him daily and weekly in worship. Our lives get busy, they get complicated, they get full, and our priorities and intentions can become unfocused or misaligned. When we gather together in worship, our hearts and lives get straightened out as we talk with our Heavenly Father. Now here's a little secret about our order of worship. That back and forth dialogue that we enact and go through every week here on Sunday, that we practice every Sunday, you can take it with you for the rest of the week. Worship is far too important and necessary to limit it to only 1 hour on Sunday. See, when Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now that curtain was protected. It protected and it blocked off the way into the most holy place in the temple, the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelt. And so when that curtain ripped right down the middle, that Holy of Holies was wide open. The way into God's presence was open for all to enter. Through faith in Christ, we have direct access to God. The King of the universe always has time for little old you and me. See, he deeply desires for us to experience the blessing of his presence each day of our lives. Not just on Sunday. He wants to hear from us every day. He wants us to talk about what's going on in our lives, what our fears and worries are, how our souls are doing. He wants us to know him more. He generously gives out wisdom and grace for all who ask through his word and through his Spirit's work within us. And so when we intentionally set aside time for him, when we, like we do here on Sundays, the same blessings that we receive from the worship service here are available to us every other day of the week as well. And just like any other relationship, the more conversations that we have, the better we get to know each other, and the deeper and more satisfying the relationship can become. Now, God is committed to us. The Bible is very clear about that. And so the question that sits before us is, how committed are we to him? Now, I understand that that's a big question, because getting closer to God can be a scary thing. Just read through the Bible. Every time that somebody has a direct interaction with God, it's a terrifying scene. And when you interact with God on that personal level and you go deeper, it's scary, because it may mean the end of our own self-determination. It might mean changes in the way that you live. It may mean facing a truth about yourselves that we don't want to face. You cannot meet with God and not be changed. But it's here that the psalmist ends his song, reminding us that the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We can get close to God. We know that we can trust him because the Lord is good. And he works all things for the good of those who love him. See, we are all here today because God has already acted in our lives. Our presence here is already a response to God's action with us. A.W. Tozer said that without worship, we go about miserable. The more that we encounter and become aware of those holy moments where God is moving in our lives or in the lives of the people around us, the more joy-filled and satisfied our souls will be. And so Sunday is the launching point for that worship that we can continue throughout the week. Here we rehearse the stories of God at work. We talk with each other about how God has moved in our lives, and we get a hunger for more of him. And so, depending on where you are in your spiritual walk, Sunday church is where the conversation either gets started or where it gets back on track. Even if it's just for an hour or so, our lives can get reconfigured in light of the truth about who we are and who God is. We hear again that God is God and we are his sheep, that he cares for us, that he welcomes us into his presence. And we get to rest and delight in that presence, secure in knowing that he is pleased and glorified when we come together to worship him, finding in that worship the rest and satisfaction and fulfillment our souls long for. So this week, I want to just encourage you all to keep the conversation going. Look for places where God is at work in your life. It may be in little reminders of good things that God brings your way. God might show up in the kind words of a coworker or a family member, in an unexpected blessing from a stranger. But it's not just all the good situations. God can also show up in our weaknesses, in our pain, and in our struggles. God can surprise us in any situation. He is always with us. C.S. Lewis said, "It's in the process of being worshiped that God communicates his presence to men, to humanity." So let me encourage you to make it a habit to talk with God daily this week. Whether at a set time or just randomly throughout your day, keep your eyes and ears open to look and listen for God at work in your life and in the lives of the people around you. And be ready to respond in gratitude and worship when you get that sense of God's presence with us. And so may his Spirit lead us and guide us to an ever-deepening awareness and understanding of his presence in our lives, and may we respond with pure, God-glorifying worship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are here now in our midst. We thank you that you have given us your word and that your spirit is at work applying that word to our lives. Father, increase our awareness and understanding of your presence in our lives. Help us to courageously let you in, to change us, and to make us look more like Jesus each day. We thank you, Father, that you are always with us, that you never leave us or forsake us. Remind us of that reality in big and small ways again this week, and help us to trust you in all things. We love you, and we praise you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, not always, not every time is our life going well. Sometimes we are struggling with a lot of grief and pain. And sometimes we are filled with joy at what God is doing. There is no situation where we cannot worship God, because even in those hard and dark times, when we worship God, we are testifying to that darkness that it will not win. So whether you are feeling the joy of the Lord as your strength, or whether you are struggling, or anywhere in between, I invite you to stand and respond to God's words to us with the words of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.